Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. The one-time transfer waiver will soon be adopted. The impact on NCAA recruiting and the formation of teams will be significant. We'll break that down, what it means for Purdue, the Big Ten, and everyone else on Golden Black Radio. We'll hit on a bunch of other topics during the podcast as well. Kyle Charter's here with Brian Newbert. Recruiting Armageddon is here, Brian. The impact is probably even hard to predict, but certainly the impact of this one-time transfer waiver and allowing sort of the free-for-all is going to be significant.
I would think so. I mean, we have to get a year or two into it here to see if it's everything we suspect it will be, obviously. It could be nothing. It could be just the next natural kind of evolution of a constantly changing marketplace. I have no idea, but there are a lot of reasons to believe this could fundamentally change kind of recruiting and college sports in general, you know, pretty profoundly. And there's no going back either. You can't basically say we're doing this because we think the student athletes deserve it and then come back and say, well, actually they've shown us that they can't handle it. So we're going to go back on this. It's here to stay. And the coaches who do the best job with it are going to have an advantage. And the coaches who don't want to play the game are going to be at a disadvantage. This is going to work out well for thousands, that's probably overstatement, hundreds of athletes. Probably they are going to find the best place for them. And this is going to be a positive thing, but there's also going to be a lot of bad decisions made. And it's not the NCAA's job to protect kids from themselves, but I think we were all 18 once and we all made decisions that probably now that we're in our 40s or in my case, late 70s, we probably look back on and say, maybe that probably wasn't the best idea that I did that one Friday night, you know, at that apartment party, you know, things like that. And we make silly decisions sometimes when we're young, and there's going to be a lot of silly decisions. And, you know, the one thing that college sports needs more of is cheating. And I think you've also, I'm obviously being sarcastic. I think you've opened the door for a lot of nefarious behavior here. And, you know, I think it took all of like 24 hours for Purdue to be victimized by that when they lost Malik Carr last week, because that absolutely reeks of tampering. But those are going to be the new conditions on the ground. And I'm not here to, you know, kind of crucify Michigan State for whatever they did to get Malik Carr, but that's going to be going on. This is going to be a marketplace now where kids are constantly evaluating their situation and looking at other situations, and coaches are constantly looking at those athletes and saying, I wonder if I can get a guy better than that somewhere. And, you know, I think we need to have a conversation with this kid, get him out of here and go find somebody else. It's going to be a really, really complicated, multi-layered topic here. And, it is going to be it could be a good thing for the game still, but it also could be a very, very complicated, detrimental thing to the game in a lot of different ways.
It puts a lot of stress on coaches. We definitely know that in terms of, you know, how they recruit, how much emphasis they put on recruiting high school kids versus recruiting transfers, because that will certainly go on. It also puts a lot of pressure on coaches in terms of how they coach too, which will be interesting to see, because, you know, rightly or wrongly, if you're too hard on one kid to try to make him better, there's always the risk of he just taking off, which I think is a risk you run as a coach now, always did, but now even maybe more than that. You know, it'll be interesting to see how coaches handle all those aspects and if it changes anything for how coaches do that. It certainly will from a recruiting high school athletes versus recruiting sophomores in, you know, sophomores who are in the portal or maybe sophomores who aren't in the portal who you've heard might be interested in coming back home or something like that. Just how do you think coaches handle all of that?
Well, every coach is going to be different. You know, there are going to be coaches who, you know, placate their players more, who have different sets of rules for different players more often. That's not something that's not happening now, obviously. But I think coaches will have to keep an eye on kind of the tones of their team to make sure that they're not, you know, coaching kids in a way that's going to push them out the door, that is still making them better, still, you know, including the difficult conversation sometimes you have to have with young people to get them on the straight and narrow, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But it is going to change for a lot of coaches. It's going to change the way they coach their teams, I would have to think. It's also going to put, I think, an emphasis on coaches kind of knowing the score in their own locker room a little bit. They're going to have to have a pretty good pulse for their teams to be able to anticipate things, because – I think that when the portal means so much to recruiting nowadays, you have to anticipate who might be leaving your program, but also who might be leaving other programs. You know, I made that comment before about Michigan State messing with Malik Carr, but, I mean, there have been any number of transfers out there who've come on the market, and you see schools – those kids know who they're going to be looking at, you know. You know, a couple months ago, Wandell Robinson opens up from Nebraska, knows he's going to either Purdue or Kentucky because obviously he has background with those two schools. But those schools,
yeah,
when that name pops in the portal, those schools got to be ready to roll on that kid. And I think it's going to put a little bit of a premium on their ability to, you know, kind of work back channels a little bit, not tamper with kids necessarily, but know what's going on and understand, know that this kid might be coming available, that kid might be coming available. So it might put a little bit more of a premium on relationships here, not only with one's own players, but with the players that you recruited and didn't get, but also the people around those players too, so that when a Wandell Robinson is going to transfer out of Nebraska, you know, 5 days before that happens, if not 5 months before that happens, you get a heads up from somebody letting you know, kind of thing like that. It is going to be a really complicated topic for coaches who are going to have to adjust to this in any number of different ways.
I feel like in basketball it could have it could be more impactful because, you know, fewer players, you lose two or three guys somewhat unexpectedly, and all of a sudden you go from a team that is expecting to compete in your league to one that just simply cannot. I mean, we've seen that a little bit in the Big Ten just this year with departures. Now, some of that is due to coaching changes, and some of that is due to other things. I mean, Rutgers has been hurt by, you know, some guys jumping in the portal, of course, Penn State and Minnesota with coaching changes. And it feels, though, Brian, almost inevitable to me that Purdue should feel good, right, that it has the roster that it has coming back next year, even though it has lost a couple of guys, you know, maybe not surprising decisions by Manny Duona and Aaron Wheeler to go into the portal, but, you know, has lost a couple of guys, but for the most part its roster comes back intact. I don't think, though, you can be any program and feel like you're going to make it through a whole decade without there being some year where you get stung by a couple of guys who just decide they're going to leave, right? I mean, it seems inevitable that 1 year is going to come along here where if you're a Purdue fan, you're going to wake up in the morning and see on goldenblack.com the two guys who are significant pieces to your team have just up and decided to jump into the portal with really no warning at all. And while we should celebrate that Purdue looks good for next season, you should also keep in the back of your mind that this could happen 5 years from now, and there's really just nothing a coach could do about it.
Yeah, it is going to put an emphasis on, you know, the things Matt Painter has always emphasized anyway, you know, fit and guys kind of standing for the right things. But it'll get Purdue before long, just like it'll get everyone before long. You know, the example I like to use is, you know, Carson Edwards didn't grow up dreaming of playing at Purdue University, you know.
Yeah.
He came to Purdue because Purdue wound up being his best opportunity. They were the school that recruited him, that stuck with him, that, you know, it turned out to be the best opportunity for him. His freshman year, he was homesick as hell, you know, and there was some concern on people's part that, you know, he might go home. And now, when he has the type of freshman year he had at Purdue, which was never his first choice, just like all those kids who left Rutgers, they didn't grow up dreaming of playing basketball at Rutgers, you know. And once they prove mm-hmm. themselves as good college players, you know, all of a sudden the mind wanders. What do you think is going to happen when Carson Edwards is having the sort of freshman year he had at Purdue? And all of a sudden the University of Texas looks bad for not recruiting him, and the University of Houston is sitting yeah. there thinking, man, if we only had Carson Edwards, what do you think is going to happen? And Carson yeah. Edwards is emotionally drained by being, you know, 1,000 miles from home. The guy loves his mother more than any person I've ever seen. It was a really hard year on him, and he was a really good player, and he would have had, you know, the world would have been his oyster had there been a transfer portal back in those days and had he put his name in. What do you think is going to happen? What kind of calls and texts do you think he's getting once practice is over? And how easy it would have been for him to just say, you know what, I never wanted to move to Indiana in the first place, and that wasn't my first choice. I'm going to go to Houston, or I'm going to go to Texas, and I'm going to be close to my mom. I'm going to, you know, play where I wanted to play all along. I mean, that's how this happens. Is it is going to get mid majors and low majors more than anybody, because it's hard enough to get a good player now, because you find somebody, then a high major finds out about him, it's done, and you can't get that kid. Now you somehow get that kid, and here come the apex predators, and you're going to lose your guys. That's just the reality of it. You know, the big ones eat the little ones, and they are going to completely consume those schools. I know mid-major coaches who are second-guessing whether they should even recruit good high school players they see, or whether they should recruit ones they think will be that will be, you know, just average, and then try to put those average kids around transfers from other schools right. that aren't moving up but are moving down. And that's – there has never really been parity in college sports, but this was a blow in the other direction. This is something that could blow parity completely to hell. That's just the way it's going to be.
Why, in my opinion, we will see once a year a super team created of transfers. Why would you not,
it could happen,
if you were a guy transferring, gather it up, the four other best transfers, and all decide to go to a beach campus somewhere, Florida Gulf Coast or Pepperdine or Long Beach or whatever, whoever the best coach is. I don't even know who the coaches are at those schools, but gather up four transfers and play and create an NBA-like super team in the NCAA and you know, go from a team that's completely off the map to one that's ranked in the top five headed into next season. Why won't we? We will see that, right? I mean, it seems inevitable that will happen every year.
It could happen. You don't see that necessarily happening in recruiting, even though all the best players do go to the same schools typically, but not in a as much in a coerced manner. But now you could theoretically see those guys who might have played AU together or whatever, or come from the same city or whatever, kind of talking to one another during the seasons and saying, hey, either you come to me or I'll come to you, or we'll both go to Gonzaga or whatever it may be, and let's do just that. That is much easier now than ever before. But that being said, that could have been happening, you know, right out of high school all along, and there aren't many examples necessarily outside of Duke and Kentucky always getting the best players. I don't know if they're getting guys colluding on the basis of being, you know, forming a super team or whatever, but there's nothing stopping that from happening. And I actually thought about that. And, you know, a big part of this is, and this is kind of a complicated topic for me in terms of my personal opinion, because I believe these guys deserve absolute control over their careers. Yes, that's always been the case. This has been a fundamentally unfair situation all along. But everybody benefits from the strength of the game. Everybody benefits from a healthy college basketball. Everybody benefits from a healthy college football. And when stuff like that happens, when fans, you know, grow attached to teams and players, and they wake up one morning, and as you said before, they read on goldenblack.com that so-and-so has decided to put his name in the transfer portal, he's just gone, you know, with no real warning. When you see college basketball things happening like you just kind of described there, where you see super teams forming, not even more so than they already are, that stuff is going to turn off fans. And that's not good for the game. And as I said before, everybody involved here benefits from the strength of college basketball. Everybody benefits from the strength of college football. And it's just, there are just potential outcomes here that can really, really, you know, hurt these games. But at this point, they are still more theoretical than anything. So we'll kind of have to see how it plays out. But there's certainly nothing stopping these sort of outcomes from occurring.
Yeah, I think it could be something that we see, maybe not every year, but at least occasionally, guys trying to come together. Hey, Brian, out of time here for this segment. Good discussion. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Dienhardt. We'll talk a little bit of football with him. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special events in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at A. Hogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And Kyle here with Tom to talk a little bit of football as we are in the off season. But Purdue did suffer a departure. Brian and I talked about it a little bit with Malik Carr, the wide receiver, who's you guys have reported headed back to Michigan State, though that's not official as of yet. From a Purdue perspective, a loss of a guy who could have contributed, most certainly.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. A four-star recruit. He got on the field last year a little bit, Kyle. He caught one pass, and he got hurt three games. But there's no doubt the staff liked his potential. Man, 6'5", 235, 240-pound receivers don't come around too often. So, yeah, he will be missed. But, Kyle, I guess if you could withstand some attrition at a position, wide receiver probably is it. There's still a pretty good roll call of talent there, even, again, without Carr or Rondale Moore.
Wherever he ends up, most likely East Lansing, will he play receiver? That was the debate a little bit, right? I mean,
yeah.
He wanted to play basketball and football. I get that. Though I just don't know how much of a contributor he'll be on a basketball court. But tight end versus receiver, I mean, he wants to be able to play receiver. Will he be able to play receiver?
Yeah, we'll see. That's his hope, but I think – you probably got most of these coaches behind a closed door and ask them to be honest with you. They would much rather see him become a tight end. That's probably where he would be best suited, honestly, Kyle. One of those athletic tight ends, pass-catching tight ends like a Travis Kelce, maybe not the most physical guy from a blocking standpoint, but a guy who really could be a mismatch, an athletic mismatch for linebackers and strong safeties to try to cover. So maybe that's where he ends up morphing into. If he sees the light, so to speak, because again, I think his future at that spot would be far greater, I would believe, than trying to stick at wide receiver.
Tom, when we talked last week, we discussed a little bit about the possibility of shuffling around of the defensive staff with, who coaches where. Any guesses to how all of those things shake out here a week later?
Yeah, again, we hit on that. The arrival of James Adams last week from Navy, officially hired as a, quote, defensive back coach. The opening on Purdue staff was for a safeties coach. I think in the end, though, you're going to see Adams coaching cornerbacks. You're going to see Ron English, who was hired to coach corners, move to safeties. And, I think you could see somebody get a co-defensive coordinator title as well on the staff. With Poindexter leaving, of course, he had that title. And I wouldn't be shocked if Ron English maybe becomes a co-DC. And maybe Mark Hagan, Kyle, is giving us like a run game defensive coordinator title. So keep that on your radar. When those announcements do become official from the university, I wouldn't be shocked if we see some configurations that look pretty close to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Hey, Tom, Purdue was hit with some sad news last week also in the football world and just in the athletic world with the death of Leroy Keyes. I think, most of us knew that he had been ill here over the last several months, but just sort of hard to believe for such an energetic guy that we saw, I guess I saw him as late as last fall at a golf outing. Just so many great things you can say about Leroy Keyes. A, as an athlete and a football player, B, as an ambassador of Purdue, but C, just, and I think this was probably as much our interactions with him over the years as anything else, but she's just a great guy and somebody who was always smiling and somebody too who, is sort of our interactions with him over the years as a, media person. Sometimes those can be a little bit formal, I guess, relationships, but it never felt that way with him. I mean, he always felt like he was your buddy a little bit, and happy to see you and excited to talk to you. And whether that was in an interview type setting or just seeing you at a golf event, know, just that kind of guy, right? I mean, it's a big loss, not only for Purdue, but just for our community.
Yeah, I think you summed it up very well, Kyle. A great football player, but a better person, right? And just looking at some Facebook posts I saw from former players, African-American players at Purdue, what he meant to them while they were student athletes at Purdue, goes without saying, a sounding board, a father figure of sorts for a lot of these kids as they matriculated through college and dealt with that road. And, you said ambassador. That's a great way to put it. I remember when he came back to Purdue, Kyle, in the early 90s to coach running backs for Jim Coletto, and then he never left. You know, he had held a couple of different jobs at the university up until his retirement in 2011. Just a great person. And you know, Purdue's Mount Rushmore college football players, Leroy yeah. Keyes, Rod Woodson, Mike Allstott, Drew Brees. I mean, you could still make the case that there was no player at Purdue more decorated while in college than Leroy Keyes. You know, Drew Brees was a two-time Heisman finalist, just like Leroy, but Leroy was a runner-up. And the third pick in the NFL draft in 1969, you can go on and off his resume. Rose Bowl champ, too. So, yeah, boy, the football legacy was vast and great. But, again, Kyle, the resume is a good person, a good father, and as a friend. Boy, that tops anything Leroy did on the field, and I think that's all we can all strive for in life.
Yeah, well said, Tom. Hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
You bet, buddy. Be good.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and put a wrap on this podcast. That's next. This is Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's Grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Podcast dropping every Monday. Be sure to check those out. However it is that you listen to your podcast, also during the week, Gold and Black Radio Express. All right, thanks to our sponsors, as always. That'll do it for our show for this week. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.